Oh, snaps.
The world is finally waking up to the crap that's baked into and sprayed on kibble dog food. No longer can commercial pet food manufacturers fool us with pretty pictures and false promises. This is the raw dog food truth. The view and opinions expressed on this podcast are not intended to replace medical advice. Before starting any raw diet, do research, ask lots of questions, and consult your vet.
Well, good morning, raw dog food feeders. I am Dee Dee Mercer Moffat, the CEO of Raw Dog Food and Company, where your pet's health is our business and where friends don't let friends feed kibble. And I have got a new friend that I have got to introduce you to because you guys are going to love her and you're going to love her work. Her name is Rita Hogan. And Rita Hogan is what? A canine herbalist. A canine herbalist. Now, I know that you guys don't know what a canine herbalist is because I really didn't know that that's what Rita was doing for the last 20 years, helping dogs through Mother Earth. So Rita, welcome to the Raw Dog Food Truth. I'm so excited to have you here.
I'm totally excited to be here.
Well, you know, I found out about you, Rita, through Neely Piazza, who is one of our top pet nutritionists. And she introduced me to the line that you created, Farm Dog Naturals. Okay. She absolutely swears by your Restore. I mean, Neely, listen, Neely cut her finger. Okay. She cut her finger and she was like, I probably should have had stitches, but I just put Restore on it and a tape and it totally healed. So she loves the Restore. And we'll talk a little bit about those products. But your main focus, Rita, is on canine herbalism. What is that? Can you explain that for our listeners?
So I'm what you would call a Western herbalist. A lot of people, are very familiar with traditional Chinese medicine or Chinese herbs, right? But I actually am, I work with a different, there's some crossover, but I work with a different set of herbs and I've been doing this close to 20 years. I work one-on-one with people. I teach, actually Neely is a student of mine and, that's how we know each other. And, it basically is using herbs in different formats. So like powdered herbs, tinctures or extracts made with glycerin, flower essences, in order to balance the body and heal the dog and get to the root issue.
Well, let me ask you about what you see as the root issue of dog disease or cat disease or just animal disease. But what do you see, Rita? Do you see it's, well, let me say it this way. I study a lot about terrain theory, right? Keeping our terrain in the best possible shape. So would you agree that most disease comes from poisoning the body through toxins?
Yes. So I don't believe that terrain theory is a theory. I believe it to be definitely to be fact. The liver, most of the issues that plague ourselves and our dogs are liver and nervous system imbalances. And the thing that people need to understand is that everything is connected. I say this to my students nonstop to nauseam. Everything is connected. Your body, our dog's body, all of our animals' bodies are an ecosystem. And we do not have dominion over our natural environment. A lot of people feel that we do, but we don't. Our natural environment has dominion over us and we're not getting it. So our body is an ecosystem. Our dog is an ecosystem. And when we put certain things into our dog, it can either make that ecosystem more balanced or it can be a detriment to that ecosystem. And that includes everything, food, products, it's amazing how when you start to pay attention to your dog as an individual and start to clean up that terrain, and the terrain is your internal tissues of your dog. And when you start to make it less hospitable to the overgrowth of pathogens, dogs and people start to thrive.
Absolutely. Why do you think, Rita, that we have moved so far away from that thought, that we think that processed foods, especially for our animals, is good for them?
Well, I mean, we've been conditioned that way. So I am 50 years old, not afraid to say it, and loving it. And when I was young, I was born in 1971. When I was young, I had a dog named Susie, and a lot of people who know me know about Susie. Susie was a collie mixed with a German Shepherd. Okay. And she was a lovely dog. She died at age 26.
What?
Okay. Yes. She was 26. Well, our family has some arguments, either 24 or 26. I say 26. My mom says she thinks it's 24, but whatever. It's like a difference of 2 years, but she died in her middle 20s. Okay.
Wow.
So, and I'll tell you, she had fresh air all day. She spent almost the entire day outside of her own choice. She spent almost the entire day outside. She slept inside. She like followed us around. She lived solely on cow's milk, unpasteurized, homogenized cow's milk from our cow, Molly, and leftover scraps of raw meat, cooked meat, raw vegetables, cooked vegetables, whatever she wanted, basically, because we didn't eat processed food. So our leftovers went in Susie's bowl, and she got a lot of the leftovers from like cutting meat and things like that on our farm. And that's it. I don't think she was ever vaccinated because she never went anywhere. And she was never spayed. And so she was just, you know, she was just a dog. And she lived, she was there before I was born, and she was there when I left for school. I mean, left when I was 19. And she was alive she died when I was almost done with the University of Minnesota. So I'm not really good with the memory, but my mom tagged it about 24. And the thing is that we have this thing called baseline theory. And baseline theory is where we as a people have moved the baseline for how old a dog is supposed to be. And then we forget that we made this up and we're living like it's real. And dogs are not geriatric at 12. They are right now. They are right now for sure. Right. They are right now, but they shouldn't be. And what has changed since 1971 is that we are making food convenient. And this has changed for not only dogs, but for us, right? We've made food more convenient. We've made it so highly processed. People don't want to be bothered with cooking or thinking in a lot of ways. And I'm a busy person. I completely understand that. And then what else, you know, what parallels do humans and dogs have? Because, you know, one out of two dogs will die of cancer. It may be one out of three, but I think it's one out of two. And one out of four people will get cancer this year. One out of four.
Like, we're not going to talk about the human vax, but no. We do know that there's going to be an explosion of cancer on the way.
Well, the thing is, what is the similarities? And the similarities is we've went from like, I think six vaccines. I got vaccinated when I was a kid. We went from like six vaccines to sometimes 18 and more vaccines for children. And then dogs, you know, that we had distemper, parvo, and rabies when I started being interested in dogs. That was like 20 years ago. Now we have so many other vaccines and more on their way. That's one. We are worming dogs when they don't have worms. That's two. We're doing that with people as well. We are eating so highly processed foods. There's dogs that are completely on pharmaceuticals. Like, you know, I used to have a kennel free boarding facility in the hills of Tennessee, called Almost Home Pet Farm. And, I loved my, this is where I realized that things were going south quick. And, you know, I'd have dogs that came in with just baggies of pharmaceuticals, and it, you know, it was just, it was their food. You know, it was the food that they were eating that was the issue. And a pharmaceutical medicine has replaced preventative medicine. It's replaced taking care of our bodies. You know, just, you know, my mother, she's 91. And, you know, yesterday I said that my, you know, my knees were hurting because I'm 50, you know, like my knees were hurting. I did a lot of work the day before because it's spring here, you know, and she's like, you know, just go take a Tylenol. And I'm like, no, mom, it'll be gone in just a little bit, you know? And, it's just an ache. It's no big deal. And, you know, we take a pill for everything. So these similarities between dogs and humans, something is happening. And then, you know, and then we have all those environmental factors like, glyphosate and herbicides, pesticides, the way that we're growing our food and the animals we're feeding our animals and the animals we're feeding ourselves. A lot of them are factory farmed. You know, you drive down the road and you see a complete backup at the McDonald's and the Wendy's and the Arby's and the Taco Bell. And it, all that food is completely factory farmed. There's a lot we need to turn around, but you know, I'm the internal optimist and I feel that we can turn it all around.
Well, absolutely. It's called get informed and then grow some big bison balls and let's do this thing. Now, I want to ask you a question because I want to understand something about these things that you're talking about. We'll come back to the vax thing in the dogs because I think that that's just killing our pets. But talk to me about spaying because people again, convenience kills, and they like the convenience of having their dog spayed. I get it. If you're going to take it into a boarding facility like Neely's, maybe the dogs need to be spayed or you're worried about them getting pregnant. But what does that do to a dog's health if they do get spayed?
Well, having been spayed myself, I'm a cancer survivor. I had to have a hysterectomy. So it's the same thing. I will tell you, it's something. It's not fun, you know, for one thing. Our animals were put on this planet and they, like, female dogs aren't meant to be spayed. You know, male dogs aren't meant to be neutered. But that's, you know, we can say that, but then it comes a whole different situation, right? Mm-hmm. So, a lot of people will spay their dogs. A lot of people will neuter their dogs. We really need to support their hormones once we do. It's a huge part of our endocrine system. You know, the reproductive organs give so much to the body, estrogen and testosterone, and we're completely upsetting the balance. And we really need to supplement with glandulars when we, and also herbs, there's many herbs that can help with that too. But, I don't know, for me, it's a disservice. I have an intact female that, she's my little like experimental dog, I guess. She's never been vaccinated. We used homeopathic nosodes for that. And, she's never been spayed. She has had one round of antibiotics because she lost an eye. She tried to fight with a bulldog and she's 12 pounds. That just didn't work for her. And it was sad, but she's had one round of antibiotics, which we're working on right now. But, and you know, antibiotics is another thing. That's another thing that is like a huge red flag of the similarities between humans and dogs. We are given antibiotics like candy, and that's both of us. And that destroys our entire bodies. So, that's a huge thing too, but, spaying and neutering is a hard subject, Dee Dee, because, You know, a lot of neutered dogs will pee all over your house, or unneutered dogs, right? You have to really hardcore train a boy dog not to pee because it's in their nature to mark. You know, we know that one. And then female dogs, you have to deal with them having their menses. You know, the bigger the dog, the bigger the issue. But there are things for that. You know, and then you have to deal with them unwanted pregnancies, and we don't want unwanted puppies in the world, for sure. There's so many dogs, especially depending on where you are in the country or in the world, but there's so many homeless dogs. So we want to make sure we're not, you know, getting our dogs pregnant for no reason either, and we don't want lots of breeding. So it's a really hard subject to work around, but you know, it's someone's choice, and we just have to support our dog's endocrine system if we are going to spay and neuter. That's pretty much, you know, what I have to say. You know, I'm not a big believer in overpopulation either. There's not enough food to go around, especially if we're promoting raw, you know. So it's a hard subject. I think it's a hard subject.
Yeah. No, I get it. We have a 3-year-old German female intact, and we have the cutest panties for her during her menses.
Right. Pantaloons. That's what I call
Yeah.
She's now, got her pantaloons on.
Now, does she go outside sometimes and potty in her pants and pee in her pants? Yep. Just like a little kid. I'm like, oh, I you know, thought she was done and put her pants on, then she ran outside and did that. But you know, you live with it. And I want her to be as healthy as she can be. And so we're going down this path with this dog with exactly the same protocol that you just described. And it will be very exciting if we can get her to 26. Oh my gosh. You're like, I'm not sure if it was 24 or 26. I'm like, who cares? Who hears of a dog that lives to be 24?
What's interesting is we just met a woman walking our dogs who eats a very healthy diet. Cooks for her dog. She, you know, I asked her, you know, do you go to the vet? She said only when she's sick. And she's hardly ever sick. It was a Chihuahua, and she's 23. She's going to be 24 this year.
That is so amazing.
She did say this. Now here's the interesting thing. And this is a really interesting thing that I think, interesting. Whenever I meet a dog that's much older, you know, I like to ask them about, like, okay, so what's the little puppy's lifestyle like, right? She said one of the things that's amazing about her is that, you know, they have a fenced-in yard, and she is outside most of the time. She said she prefers to run around. She's constantly running outside. You know, she's retired. The lady's retired. She said, you know, we sit outside we have a semi-heated patio. We watch her run around. We throw the ball. She's, you know, she's outside all the time. And another interesting fact is, because I've grown up on farms, because even my farm in Tennessee was around other farms, you know, I met a lot of dogs, and I did meet some dogs that were eating like crap kibble, right? Just crap as a kind of like a supplement. Their owners fed them farm scraps, and they had like a bowl of crap kibble, you know, like Old Roy or something like that. I mean, it was multicolored and it was very scary. Yes. But, you know, but their dogs were much older, right? You know, into their 19s, 20s. And this was, I don't know what, let's see, about 10, 12 years ago. And one of that factors, didn't go to the vet very much. Nothing to do with veterinarians. I'm just saying they didn't go to the vet very much. And also that fresh air factor. And the thing is that the average American dog, and I say this almost anytime I speak because it really needs to get out there. The average American dog gets 15 minutes of exercise a day. And we look at how much we exercise ourselves, right?
Right.
Not a lot in fresh air. You know, we need air. We are built to be outside. We also need to be outside touching the ground, and especially our dogs. And so, you know, you got to look at like, okay, what are those similarities, you know? Because oxygenation is so important for healthy mitochondria. And it's just, I don't think it can be stressed enough. Like, we need to be outside breathing fresh air. Most of our dogs are inside breathing our toxic house air.
Tune in tomorrow for part two of Rita Hogan's talk and find Rita Hogan at canineherbalist.com. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody, right here on the Raw Dog Food Truth, where your pet's health is our business and where friends don't let friends feed kibble. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody. Bye-bye.
Oh, snap, snap.
Find out how you can start your dog on the road to health and longevity. Go to rawdogfoodandcompany.com, where friends don't let friends feed kibble and where your pet's health is our business.
Just snap.